Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Friends of the Rappahannock are focused this morning, and we welcome back. It has been way too long since Brian Hoffman and Woody Walker here from Friends of the Rappahannock, and they are back this morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Ted.
It has been I haven't seen you since early spring, I guess, was the last time you guys were in here, and we've got a lot to catch up on and talk about the Rappahannock. And one of the big things to talk about is, Brian, what happened the other night in Westmoreland County. Westmoreland has been dealing with fracking. We've King George did recently, and now it's been a topic in Westmoreland.
Absolutely, and that's just the newest development in a campaign that we've been working on with quite a few partners for going on 5.5 years now. So great to see a big success there. Building off of success, what was it, September, October, Richmond County in the Northern Neck banned fracking outright, and which was an amazing first step, first county in the Northern Neck to take the step for a ban. And then wait 1 month, and you've got the next piece of the puzzle that now completes the Northern Neck being protected from any potential impacts from fracking.
So, in Westmoreland, it's what, 1,000 to 3,300 feet? Is what companies have to stay away from the river? Is that right?
Yeah. So just like King George, instead of banning fracking, they looked at their resources that the county wants to protect and cares the most about, and they drew a buffer around those. So it's any stream, wetland, private homes and structures, public drinking water wells, and a number of other things that vary from county to county. But the Planning Commission did a good job. They looked at what matters, what could be potentially impacted by any kind of industrial activity, and just drew a line around it and said, well, we think this buffer is going to protect those resources. And we helped them get to that number of 1,000, pushing them a little bit farther from the 750 that they did in King George. There was a ban on the table at the Westmoreland County Board of Supervisors meeting, but they decided to go with this new ordinance language, which we've been helping them write for a long time. So we're very pleased.
Well, this is one of the topics where you look at it and you think, boy, it's great to have Friends of the Rappahannock here, because fracking in this area has been it's been at least 5 years, I'm thinking, even, you know, that it's been discussed. And you came in when nobody had any kind of rules on the table, and everybody was really looking at it, and this could have gone in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, it started out with about 84,000 acres of land leased in a 5 or 6 county region, and we brought together Southern Environmental Law Center, Virginia League of Conservation Voters, Sierra Club, Friends of Rappahannock, and other interested parties, and that's what really gets the job done, is having all those people at the table.
Fracking itself, there are a lot of concerns, and there's still a lot of concerns out there about what it may mean. Do you think what you've got in place now? Do you think that stays, or do you think localities, as we learn more about fracking, come and revisit this?
Well, the biggest issue with fracking as an industrial activity is that it's exempt from all of the big important federal laws that require you protect your clean water, your groundwater, erosion, sediment control, all those things. So you got to have local protections. If the federal government is not going to regulate it, and the state's not going to go farther than what the federal government's doing, it's up to our localities. And choosing these ordinances is perfectly within the rights of the localities for land use regulations. And they're going to stand up to the test of time and provide those requirements and protections that we need.
Well, nice going, because this has been, I know this has been something that Friends of the Rappahannock has been, you've all been studying this for a long time, and to get these things in place is good to have.
So for me, I'm looking back a year ago when we started working with American Rivers, and thinking about whether or not the Rappahannock should be included on the most endangered rivers list. So we sent a lot of information to them, and they looked it over, and they decided that it was worthy, that it should be. And it was, you know, named the number 5 most endangered river in the nation because of the threat of fracking.
Yeah.
And American Rivers, you know, we're really proud to work with them. They're a first-class organization. So for them to come out and make that decision, it meant a lot. We had been working on this issue for a long time. We continued to work on it through this year, and to see the successes, to see King George work proactively, to see Richmond County and now Westmoreland do these things in the year that we were on the most endangered rivers list is amazing. I think it's really an accomplishment for all of the partner groups that Brian mentioned. A lot of people worked together, a lot of groups and stakeholders came together and got this done in the year that it mattered the most.
I never thought of that. That you know, you think about. I mean, what a year it's been.
It has been an extremely successful year, and really, I know that, you know, Brian does a lot of our advocacy work on the state and federal level. So I'm anxious to see how he can take this and move forward as we go into the next General Assembly session. You know, I think there's a lot of progress being made.
Yeah.
Yeah. American Rivers is actually going to team up with us and Southern Environmental Law Center to have January 2018 be the Rappahannock River Month. So that's where we're going to showcase what the work that's happened so far associated with protecting our localities from fracking, but also build and momentum moving forward as we're anticipating some bills coming up in the General Assembly in Virginia. And we really want to make sure that we're prepared and we've got all the information for our members and the residents of these counties. Have the information they need to proactively work to make sure that all this hard work that's been done by the Board of Supervisors isn't eroded by some loophole in some law.
I was going to ask you about, so you are involved with the General Assembly. I assumed you were. I know you follow this. You follow what's happening on the federal level and in Congress. But it seems like there's something always can slip through in the General Assembly.
Yeah, one of the big wins that the Southern Environmental Law Center had in 2016 was they passed some regulations for the Department of Mines, Minerals, and Energies, one of which that requires any company that has a permit for fracking to disclose the chemicals that they're pumping down into the ground. Not to the public, but at least to the Department of Environmental Quality. Mm-hmm. And then you could submit a Freedom of Information request. The county could, or we could. So that Richmond County's first responders would know what kind of equipment they need if a spill happens.
Yeah.
Well, the oil and gas industry decided they were going to throw some bills in that would prevent that FOIA request, make it exempt, so nobody could find out. So our police and fire squads in King George County would not know what kind of protective equipment they need, whether if they spray water on that fire, it's just going to make it worse, things of that nature.
Yeah.
And our members heard about this and came out of the woodwork. We had phone call after phone call, email after upset email, and walking through the halls down in Richmond, you know, they knew that we were there. They got a little tired of hearing, and it showed. 4 bills got introduced, 2 in each of the House of Delegates and 2 in the Senate, and all 4 of them got defeated. And that was Virginia Conservation Network, Southern Environmental Law Center, all these great groups all teaming up together in the halls of the General Assembly, and really just that was incredible.
Well, and you think about a bill like that of, you know, it's something like that is just so common sense, and for safety and in everything.
And it doesn't even really, it's so far past the we want to protect water quality for fish and wildlife. We want to protect water quality for drinking water. We want to protect the men and women that are our first responders that are out, you know, taking care of business for us as residents. And that was just kind of, it seemed like that was the last straw for the communities, and they really rose up and got stuff done.
Do you send out like alerts and things to people when something's going on? You know, so if when that's going on, I know to contact my representative.
We do. So, you know, we refer to them as e-blasts. Something will come up like this, and Brian will come to me and we'll you know, come up with a message that needs to get out. We've got about 5,000 people on an email listserv that we've, you know, that's our database of people that we can email for something like this. and we can send out an action alert or an advocacy need. And like Brian mentioned, they really respond. It's pretty amazing when our team gets the word, they make those calls.
That's fantastic because on issues like that, when local leaders start getting messages like that, so take the time when you see that and sign up and get those kind of things. Riverfriends.org, the website for Friends of the Rappahannock. We've got a lot of talk. We're going to talk a lot about before we get out of here this morning. I want to talk with you guys about ways, especially at the end of the year, people can get involved with donations and becoming members with Friends of the Rappahannock. Woody Walker, Brian Hoffman here with Friends of the Rappahannock, riverfriends.org. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Friends of the Rappahannock, our focus, Brian Hoffman, Woody Walker here this morning as we talk about Friends of the Rappahannock, riverfriends.org. I have not actually had a chance to see it, but I have seen it mentioned on the website, but there is now a river cam that we can keep a watch on the river, and that to me looks to be very cool.
We're really proud of it. That was an Eagle Scout project.
Okay.
An Eagle Scout, Dev Patel from Troop 21 here in Fredericksburg, came to us more than a year ago and wanted to do a cool project, and he had IT skills. So back in the days before Brian and I came here, there was a river cam, and you could go on the FOR website and watch the river 24/7, 365. And people said that they loved it, and it had gotten damaged and was no longer serviceable.
Yeah.
So through this Eagle Scout project, we were able to do that, got it up and running. We call it the River Safety Cam. It's really cool. There's the metal gauges that we have on the river, you know, with the green, yellow, red safety gauges. So you can see it. It's there. A lot of people are saying that it works for them because they can log on and they think about whether or not they want to go out on the river that day.
Yeah.
But we've also got some links on that river cam where you can click to some USGS information.
Okay.
And I want to improve upon that. But I really like that idea because you can look at it and see a red, green, yellow. But if you click on the link, you can go to the USGS stream data site and you can see flow and water temperature and what's going on upstream and forecast for what is a rainfall event that's occurring now. What's that going to do? They show a forecast. So it's a really cool safety thing.
Well, we talk about it all the time when you come in that the river itself, when what we see here is just a piece of it, and what's happening upstream, and especially if you've got something in Culpeper or Orange and a big storm, and we're going to feel it here maybe a little bit later.
Sure, river that rises and falls rapidly, the Rappahannock, and it really does. We get rain events upstream. Our river comes up quick, gets muddy,
yep.
And within a couple of days, it's down again.
Boy, the river is low right now. It is as low as I can remember, and it's been a number of years since it's been as low as it is.
It has been a low water year. We, of course, in late spring and into June, had lots and lots of water, which we're seeing the benefits of that. All the trees we planted in April got tons of water, and they're all healthy. But, it has been a scrape bottom kind of summertime for canoeing and angling as well. We got a little bit of snow, a little bit of rain here and there, just barely keeping it going. It's been tough, and we're hoping for a nice wet spring, and hopefully we'll get higher water, safer and higher water next year.
Well, and I guess you do kind of worry sometimes when it's so low that you'll see, and I've seen people who are out in their trying to maneuver around on rocks that they usually don't see, and you worry sometimes that if it's going to get too low and people will get into situations where
sure it happens. So
yeah,
it kind of when it gets like that and you can hop on those rocks, it sure looks fun. But a lot of times they're wet and they've got algae on them and things, and they get slippery. So people just have to be careful.
We talk about things like the, and you mentioned, we talk about the webcam and how that's an Eagle Scout project, and you get a lot of help from people volunteering and getting things done. But if people aren't aware, Friends of the Rappahannock is, you're an organization that you can monthly gifts are always welcome. You can become a member. There are just a lot of different levels that a person can get involved with what you guys do.
That's true. You know, we're really proud of our membership. We have about 700 memberships right now. Well, that extrapolates to thousands of members, because some of those memberships are family memberships.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a couple, and sometimes it's a business. So we look at that, and it gives us a lot of strength when we go in and Brian does advocacy work, when he can say that we have thousands of members. It means a lot. But folks can go on our website at riverfriends.org. There are various levels of membership, and we're currently in the middle of our end-of-year campaign, and we're seeing a lot of success with that. I work with our Mary Washington interns to make the thank you calls.
Yeah.
So I get to see these donations, and it's really exciting to see how much people – they care and they want to give.
Well, and this is the time of year when a lot, sometimes people will look and say, "Hey, I haven't given like I thought," and you try to catch up or give. And this is the time of year to do it. And but when you're looking for a local organization that does so much, and like you say, the numbers are important for a number of reasons, just for the financial health of Friends of the Rappahannock, but also for somebody like Brian, or you know, when you're going to talk to lawmakers. To have that number of people behind you does say something.
Sure, it does.
It's also great to have that large number of people to reach out to when we've got a project that could use a set of extra hands. Whether it, you know, we just planted 275 trees on last Friday when it was 30 degrees outside, but you know, we didn't have a school group or something like that to come out. But Woody put out an email, and we had Master Naturalists and recent college graduates. They're just hanging out. You know, we had 26 people show up to plant trees in 30-degree weather an hour away.
Yeah, it was cold.
It was cold, but that was like two emails, and we got that number. So when we try harder and plan a little better, you know, we'll come out of the woodwork. We'll have 100-plus people, and that's because of our memberships, because of the friends of the friends of the Rappahannock and things like that.
Well, and a lot of times people do just want to know, you know, you want to get involved, but you don't know how. And you joined Friends of the Rappahannock. You know, you get those emails. You get that kind of
information. That's one of the things that's really important is by joining, you're on that email list. I send out a monthly e-newsletter. We transitioned this year. It was another big change for us. For many years, we did a magazine-type newsletter. Mm-hmm. And I put it out four times a year. But it was a lot of cost. There was a lot of production time and postage and things. So we went to e-newsletters. And now I can create an e-blast like we were talking about that drives the readers back to our website to staff-written blogs and articles. And sometimes these articles are written by our volunteers. A lot of times some of our young volunteers write them. But each month you get that. As part of being a member, I send those out. In addition, you get advocacy alerts and action items. It's just it's a good way for us to keep people informed, and that's one of the best things about being a member.
And the other thing is, you do so many programs, usually spring, summer, and fall, and some of them the cost events that you do, right. you get a cost break.
That's true. So for members, we try to recognize that where we can. So there's a 20% savings on all of our interpretive trips, like the Hunter's Island hike that you've done with us and the Civil War paddle, or all of our hats, t-shirts, things like that we sell. We give members a 20% discount to try to recognize their contributions.
And it is cool when you go to the stuff part of the website, there's some cool stuff there. One of which is I think you still have the book that runs through that kind of charts the Rappahannock River, which is just a fascinating book.
It's a water trail map. National Park Service actually helped fund the production of that, and it's got really high quality aerial images of everywhere that the city of Fredericksburg has their riparian buffer easement. That with the protected land, so that starts at Kelly's Ford in Fauquier County or Culpeper County, and Ely's Ford out in Orange County, and goes all the way down to here to Fredericksburg, and I mean every campsite, every historic Civil War lock, channel, dams, things like that, every rapid, so you know that I'm going to turn around this corner, look at my waterproof map real quick. Oh, honey, we should stay right because there's a big old tree that's there and a rock, and it's not great. That's a good resource to have, and I think Woody, those are like $15 now, down from 30.
Right. We cut the cost this past year. I have a lot of them, and wanted to just move the merchandise, and so to make it better, easier to get them in people's hands, we cut the price down to $15, and it's really done a lot. We're selling a lot of these maps.
I've got one, and they are really a resource. Cool. Riverfriends.org. Mm-hmm. Is the website where you can find everything. Brian Hoffman, Woody Walker here from Friends of the Rappahannock. When we come back, we're going to touch again. Woody mentioned about earlier this year when the Rappahannock River came as an endangered river, and we're going to talk about what that means, because a lot of us, you look at the river and you think it can't possibly be. Everything looks fine. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Brian Hoffman, Woody Walker here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
I have the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shue.
We're talking Rappahannock River this morning with Woody Walker and Brian Hoffman, riverfriends.org, the website. If you're looking to get some gear or to become a member and find out all the different levels there, it's again riverfriends.org. When we start off this morning, we talked a little bit with Woody. You mentioned about the Rappahannock River, and earlier, I think the last time you guys were in, as a matter of fact, in the spring, we talked about how the river came in at number 5 for the most endangered rivers. And for a lot of us, that was kind of a surprise because, you know, you go stand over at Riverside Drive and you watch the river and you just think, this is just wonderful. But there are a lot of hidden dangers that with the river as far as its health.
So that's true, and I think it's important to recognize that this listing from American Rivers said that we were the 5th most endangered. We're not one of the most polluted. Our river's in pretty good shape. We're not one of the most damaged from industrial uses and things, but it was in danger from the threat of fracking.
Yeah.
And that's what, that's been a big focus. And Brian and Richard Moncure, our river steward down in Tappahannock, it's been a big part of what they've done this year. So that's why these things like the successes that we're seeing on the northern neck are so important to us.
Do you think that, with what's happened in Richmond County and King George and now Westmoreland, that when this list comes out again, the next list, that will this affect our standing on that list?
Yeah. So that list is annual, and it brings awareness for 1 year to all the rivers that are included on that list. It's not generally not you're on the list until the problem's solved or beat. So the Rappahannock will not be on the 2018 list. That's not saying our work is not done or is done. It's just saying that it's now time for this nationwide organization to help other smaller organizations bring an important issue on some other river to light.
And I guess when you think about it, being on that list for this last year, it had its desired effect, that there was kind of the wake-up call of fracking is out there, it could really impact and hurt our river, and the localities responded, and you were able to take that and use that as, you know, in your toolbox, so to speak, of in fighting that.
Yeah, we were in here with you 24 hours after the press releases first went to the folks like the AP and the New York Times, and we saw National Geographic talking about the Rappahannock River, Associated Press, Washington Post, San Francisco Chronicle, Cincinnati Enquirer, whatever, teeny little tiny papers. It was everywhere. And that's a big splash. The nation heard about it. We were the river that was closest to our nation's capital in the Rappahannock here. And you also had rivers like the Colorado River Basin being and other really endangered rivers on there. And collectively, as a group of 10, you know, that is a huge statement, and people do get an opportunity nationwide. If they see that report, they can make 10 phone calls, one to each place, or call us and the 10 other groups that are working on their rivers, just to find out, hey, what can I do? Wait a month and then call? All right, I'll do that. Thank you. So but it just made an incredible surge of support and awareness that I don't think we could have matched without that kind of report.
When I guess after the vote Monday night in Westmoreland County, when you got word on that, you had to be pretty thankful and pretty excited that really those three localities that really were, you know, under the fracking microscope had gone and done something, and you had to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, each county we've worked with separately, they've taken their own approach, and we've asked them what they're looking for and what they're willing to work on, and we just bring them options. And sometimes they like the options, sometimes they don't. We go back to the drawing board, but we were very fortunate to see great success in all three counties of the Northern Neck that had fracking leases, one that didn't. And now the focus turns to the Middle Peninsula, where Essex County has already taken some proactive steps in their comprehensive plan. And we're looking towards both Essex and Caroline County to see what they're interested in and how we can help that.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting this year. We work with a group called the Essex County Countryside Alliance, and they do a really, really nice publication in the summer. Glossy magazine, looks good. And I got to work with some of their organizers and people and write an article about the Rappahannock, the threat of fracking, and the message that I got from these folks that live there. What do they care about? They care about their rural lifestyle. Hmm. They care about their quality of life. They care about being able to go fishing. They care about their drinking water. And so, you know, when you talk to these folks down there, these are very real, very practical concerns. And I think that these localities that are taking these steps to protect their citizens are doing the right thing.
We should mention and give you a chance to talk a little bit about this, Woody. You're doing right now a project that I would love to do, of where you're sitting down and actually documenting things and doing interviews with just a wide range of people. And someday, especially when a lot of these people are no longer here, this is just going to be a treasure for this area.
So it's an oral history program, and we call it Life Along the Rappahannock. And we do it in conjunction with the Mary Washington University Department of History and American Studies. Mm-hmm. We have faculty advisors. We have student interns who help do this. So it's a scholarly academic program, but we've been lucky. We received some funding through the community foundation, our local community foundation, and we've shot 5 videos. We're building the website page for that now, and hopefully maybe by the first of the year, that'll be live. And people can see these interviews, and we've been excited. We've interviewed John Tippett, our former executive director, Bill Mix, who helped found Friends of the Rappahannock and is a guiding light for us. And one of the most exciting interviews was Chief Ann Richardson from the Rappahannock tribe. Chief Ann had amazing stories, oral traditions that run in her tribe about life along the river. And you're right, if capturing these stories and making them accessible, so that people can find them, whether on the web or working with some of our local museums and libraries, we'll have them digitized and transcribed and in places where people can find these stories.
It's got to be fun for you to do something like this.
Oh, I love it. I'm a history major. I'm currently a student at Mary Washington. I'm in my next to last class, and so I love history. It's a tool that I use to engage people about the river. When we do the Civil War paddle or we do the Hunter's Island hike, I use history as a way to get people interested and then start that conversation about the health of our river and how they can help protect it.
We're going to talk about that Hunter's Island hike before we get out of here this morning. But, you know, going along with you, when I did that a few years ago, and it's just fascinating the stories you know about that island, and to have an emphasis with what you do and with history and be interested in that on the river, because there are so many stories. Or you walk along the river there and you see things like you see things like where the dam was or various things, and there's just a lot of history along the river.
And Fredericksburg is just that kind of community, because we have that deep and rich history back to the colonial era and before. People in our community love it. A history event here draws them out. They come to reenactments. They come to lectures at the library. They come to our local museum, you know, like our new, you know, revamped Fredericksburg Area Museum, which is just amazing. People in this community love that stuff.
Talking Friends of the Rappahannock this morning, Woody Walker here, Brian Hoffman here. Brian, one of the things that Friends of the Rappahannock is able to do, we talk about, you're involved in a number of different things, but in the whole area of grants and things like that, you're able to be, in some ways, you're able to provide them and sometimes be a clearinghouse for them and provide things along the river.
Yeah, we have a great grant writing team, and we're able to secure grants from very local resources, like Woody just mentioned, at our community foundation, the Rappahannock River Region, Northern Piedmont Community Foundation. And then some of the larger grants that not just Friends of the Rappahannock, but countless organizations throughout the Rappahannock River Region are securing come from the federal government, National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, Environmental Protection Agency, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, and these are $200,000 grants, $500,000 grants. A lot of them come from the federal government's Chesapeake Bay program, which each year, you know, we send lots of our members up to D.C. to talk to the Rob Whitmans and the Senator Keynes and Warners and other congressmen and women that just say keep fighting for that money, because it not only comes to nonprofits like Piedmont Environmental Council, Friends of the Rappahannock, but it's going to municipalities. Town of Kilmarnock down in Lancaster County just got a $200,000 grant last year. Town of Urbana is getting funding. Middle Peninsula Planning District Commission is getting funding. Northern Neck Planning District Commission is getting $196,000. $2 million to the Rappahannock River in just the last 3 years from these federal grant programs. And when we see a president's proposed budget come out with $0 in the Chesapeake Bay program, which used to be $73 million.
Yeah.
All these programs, over 20,000 students in Virginia are getting benefits from these environmental programs, from folks like the James River Association's education programs, our education programs at Friends of the Rappahannock. And simple phone calls up there telling your congressman or woman to say, hey, protect the Chesapeake Bay program funding, and this is why it matters to me. And there's a couple articles that were just published, Southside Sentinel and Fredericksburg Today, that list a bunch of these different grants that folks throughout the region have gotten and some of the benefits. Just take home, and it's easy to see the benefits. It's not some intangible thing where the water's slightly clearer, there's less nitrogen in the water, which is great and important, but it's this many kids that didn't have outdoor education opportunities now have those experiences. They've never been to a farm before, and the Chesapeake Bay Farm Bill Enhancement Act would provide another $300 million to help with farm programs the Natural Resource Conservation Service offers, which includes the FFA, the Future Farmers of America programs, and the 4-H programs to take city students and get them out to our rural farms and see those good things, all while also protecting water quality, which is one of our largest goals at Friends of the Rappahannock.
No, just a lot of different. The list it shows you a lot of different areas where you're able to do in a wide variety. In a lot of these communities, these are really important. These are important things that not only, like you say, for the community, but also for the river.
Yeah, and every dollar that the federal government ponies up for these types of programs are matched dollar for dollar by local dollars. So when we get a $5,000 grant from a local community foundation, we're able to leverage that to federal dollars and get another $5,000 back that only doubles the benefit that these programs have. This past year, we just got $91,000 to fund our Headwater Stream Initiative, which worked with students to get them out to streams in the Headwaters region, so Fauquier and Madison and Culpeper, Rappahannock counties, and show them the tiny little creeks and streams where, you know, we're talking 8 to 10 feet wide sometimes.
Yeah.
That's the Rappahannock River. When they might be from Stafford County or even down in the Northern Neck where the river's a mile wide. And they get to see, this is Shenandoah National Park where it all starts. And then we go out and plant trees or restore stream banks or things of that nature. That's part of a meaningful watershed education experience, which is otherwise known as a MeWe, which are really great experiences that are offered to schools throughout Virginia. It also hits on their SOLs, which the teachers all love. Anytime they can get help with that, you know, and our staff and countless other staff from soil and water districts and such are going into classrooms and helping with that. And it all boils down to the Chesapeake Bay program and the funding provided, which is so essential to the states throughout the Chesapeake Bay.
Brian Hoffman here, Woody Walker here from Friends of the Rappahannock, riverfriends.org. When we come back, we'll wrap it up by getting a little peek at some of the events coming up in 2018 with Friends of the Rappahannock. We'll do that on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Friends of the Rappahannock, our focus this morning with Woody Walker and Brian Hoffman. As we look ahead to 2018, Woody, you two always come in, and we always do a show towards the in the spring before you've got a lot of events in the spring, but just give us a little peek at what's coming up.
So we're doing our Wild and Scenic Film Festival again this year, and we're really excited. It'll be at Dodd Auditorium on the UMW campus.
And that it's been there.
So last year was the first year, and so we'll do it again. The change is we're doing it in the evening, so it'll be like 7 to 9.
Okay.
Last year we did it at Dodd, and we did it in the afternoon, and it was a beautiful sunny day. And we didn't have quite the turnout that we wanted. And after we talked to people that we missed, the faces that we knew should have been there or could have been there, they were on the river playing. So
yeah.
I get it.
Doing
so
exactly what we were trying to get
absolutely.
Them inspired to do.
Yeah, so they were out there having a good time on a sunny day, and we got it, and we understand. So we're going to do it on Saturday, March 31st,
okay.
7 to 9. It's a wonderful collection of short films, and we're really going to focus on showcasing the work that we do with Mary Washington faculty and students.
Okay, so we'll as we get closer, we'll mention that, and then the Hunter's Island hike is always something that is real popular and usually sells out pretty quickly.
It does. We're going to do that on April 14th. It's a Saturday. I can take about 30 people on that trip. So as soon as we get the website up, people can start buying tickets. And I've got a special surprise in store for this year. So if you've been on this before, I've got something that's going to make it totally different and very exciting.
It's quite an island. It's private and not open. So this is really your one chance out of the year to go over there, and it's a pretty extensive. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot about what
absolutely
went on over there.
And we're lucky that Mrs. Mary Ellen Wheeler she leads the tour. And lets us take people there so they can see it. And then I usually try to bring in some of the history faculty from Mary Washington that can, shed some light on what we're looking at.
We started the show, Brian, by talking about Westmoreland and their what they passed this earlier this week about fracking and basically pushing the oil companies and the companies involved with fracking back away from the river. Pretty significant, as you've described it. Their decision, along with King George and Richmond counties in the Northern Neck, pretty significant, and it's kind of like job well done. Thank you to Friends of the Rappahannock for really jumping on this and seeing that the river was protected.
Yeah, it's a big thank you to the Planning Commission in Westmoreland County, and then the multiple groups that have all worked together to just provide the counties the information that's available and the reasoning why these resources deserve protecting. And ultimately, the residents of Westmoreland County really took this issue up and demanded that these natural resources and public infrastructure be protected. And that's what the new ordinance that got passed is showcasing.
Like just seconds ago, before the commercial break ended, you all told me about a purchase that Friends of the Rappahannock involved. Is there anything you can tell me about it, or am I going to have to wait on this?
So there's a really popular spot that we have that we've been able to lease for many years, and we call it the beach. It's where our educators go and take the kids down to do macroinvertebrate surveys and things that are water on, you know, water's edge related. And just in the last couple of weeks, a local foundation supported Friends of the Rappahannock and made that purchase. So we now have four additional acres to our riverfront property. We had 12, and the four brings it to 16 acres that will be protected and used for education purposes. So it's really a wonderful thing.
And where is it at?
So it's at, so if you're at the FOR building, it's at the end of the canal path just before it starts on the trail that goes out to the quarry.
Oh, okay.
So it's there's a cable up and steps there. That, you know, it's marked as private property because we just we have to be so careful with people there.
Yeah.
So it's there, and it just means that our educators have this place secured for their lessons.
Interesting. Well, we'll talk more about that when it when you're able to do even more with it. Just about out of time, but end of the year here. And if you want to get involved with Friends of the Rappahannock, riverfriends.org has all the kind of the membership levels. But consider it. You guys do great work.
Absolutely. This is our end of year appeal, and I'm excited. I see so many. I get to help make those phone calls, and my interns from Mary Washington help with that. And yes, there are some large donations, and those are just amazing when that happens. But there are so many $25, $35, $50 donations, and those add up. It's really amazing to see the numbers that come in. So we're very grateful.
At the very least, get a family membership for your family, and you'll find a lot of information. You'll get a lot of information in and get involved in a lot of this. We are out of time, unfortunately, but I will get you guys back in the new year to continue to talk about this. Thanks for what you guys do and everybody over there at FOR on the River. And Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us today.
Thank you, Ted.
Brian Hoffman, Woody Walker, Friends of the Rappahannock, riverfriends.org. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.